This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Eric Hessler, attorney for PANO, the Policemen's Association of New Orleans. Eric, welcome to the show. Eric, you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, welcome to the show.
Oh, good afternoon,
Eric,
thank you.
When this first happened a week ago today, the chief came out, seemed to be a little irritated as it related to the notification process or lack thereof, and that felt like that there was a role for the NOPD to play, and had they been notified in a much quicker fashion, they might have been able to get their hands around some of these individuals that were able to escape. Is that kind of the mindset of what the men and women are thinking about in the NOPD?
Well, of course. There's no excuse for the late notification to the public, much less to the law enforcement entities in the area. That's unacceptable on any level.
Yeah. So what is the over 200 officers out there trying to catch these five remaining individuals that escaped. We're now up to four individuals having been arrested for aiding and abetting these folks. We just came out of a real busy season. I know you guys have to be working overtime out there on the streets trying to find out where these folks are.
Well, yeah, they have several entities involved, ATF, FBI, Homeland Security, NOPD, and I think state police is doing a wonderful job heading it up. And everybody is working long and hard to try and get this back under control.
What are the men and women saying to you? What's going on there? What are they saying?
Well, I mean, obviously they recognize the severity of what occurred. To some extent, it's embarrassing, even though the NOPD has nothing to do with the security of the jail or what goes on inside the jail. I saw that the NOPD had to go public and make sure people knew that NOPD and the OPSO were two separate entities. Not that they don't work in collaboration with each other, but this wasn't the doing of NOPD, and but now they're going to have to step up and help try and control it, and they're going to do their job. So,
yeah. Let's pivot to another issue that has been recently reported in the Washington Post about facial recognition cameras. I've talked about this on the show a couple of days. I thought the article was, tried to lean in a direction that I thought that was less than honest, quite frankly. I know that there's an independent company that is providing these hits, both to the public as well as to officers that it had individually signed up for it. I kind of view it as anybody, and Joe Citizen calling in saying, hey, I think y'all are looking for a guy and he's over here at Bienville and Bourbon. You may want to check it out.
You're absolutely correct. The facial recognition is a tool, as you know. And it's a tool that's used by, once again, FBI, state police, ATF, and it works. It's been very helpful. It's not like, you know, I know that some people say it's constitutionally challenged or whatnot, but it's not. It's used by law enforcement all across the country, and it's used in a constitutional manner. And like you said, much like if a citizen would call and say, hey, this looks like a wanted subject, the police aren't going to swoop down on him and arrest him and put him in jail. They're going to go conduct an investigation, and they're going to do it legally. They're going to do it within the boundaries of the Constitution. And if it is, in fact, the guy or girl that's wanted, that person's going to go to jail. It's not going to be singularly relying on the identification of a mechanical camera. And I think that's one of the problems with the consent decree, and I've said it for a long time. It's helped the department in a lot of ways, but it's also kind of impeded police investigations. And I think this is just another instance where, state police were able to avail themselves of the technology and use it and make an arrest. And had the NOPD been allowed to do so, we might have been way ahead of the game at this point.
The chief put this practice on pause. Obviously, she expressed similar concerns to what you just said, that she thought that, you know, this should be a tool in their tool bag. There's an appropriate way to utilize this technology. She recognizes that. Where do you think this is headed?
Well, and I can't speak for the chief, but I think that it's the consent decree that disallows the NOPD from using that. And basically, the consent decree was put in place originally to ensure constitutional policing. Facial recognition is completely constitutional when done so correctly, and there was nothing to suggest they weren't doing it correctly. I hope that common sense will prevail, and either the NOPD will start doing it again, or the DOJ and consent decree monitors will allow them to do so, as long as it's done constitutionally, which it had been being done.
Well, you are facing a city ordinance that was passed by the council that restricted the utilization of that technology in many ways, right?
Yeah, and I think it was restricted in the sense that it just demanded that it be done in a constitutional manner. I don't think it was a across-the-board restriction of it being done, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it was very interesting to me in the aftermath of the escape from the jail, that private company's technology started picking up these individuals all over the city,
right,
and actually has provided
hours,
video.
Course.
I mean, right. It's kind of like, in my mind, devoid of my 40 years of experience in law enforcement, you know, if I was regular citizen, it seemed worth it to me.
I mean, And it is a tool, not just for law enforcement, it's a public safety tool. I mean, he couldn't deny that if these characters were in custody right now, that the public would be a lot more safe.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because I really believe that it was a tool, although there were only 34 arrests that were made, right, as a result of the utilization of these alerts in the 8th District, But I do believe that it's a tool that caused officers to be more intrusive, right? To go check it out, to see what's going on, if they got a hit or otherwise. And if they couldn't make a stop in a constitutional fashion, it's obvious to me that they walked away from it because they just couldn't do it. They didn't have the probable cause necessary or the reasonable suspicion to make the stop, because there were a lot more alerts in that went out, right?
Right, and I haven't been made aware of any complaints that it was being used improperly, or never had a defendant officer that was accused of improperly stopping somebody based on a facial recognition call. So if it does exist, I've never heard of it yet.
Interestingly, I don't know if you, I'm sure you read the Washington Post article. They pointed out that there were 8 misidentifications because of facial recognition in the country.
Well,
it's like, that's, what?
Yeah, that's
you've been around a long time.
Low.
You've been around a long time. You know, identifications made by the general public, I'm sure, have had more than 8 misidentifications.
Absolutely. I mean, you know as well as I do. When somebody's mugshot hits the paper, the phones start ringing off the hook, and the majority of those are dead ends, misidentifications, and incorrect. Eight misidentifications from facial recognition across the country, I'll take those odds any day of the week.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's no piece of machinery or apparatus, software, hardware, or otherwise, however you want to refer to it, that has a 100% competency rate. It just doesn't exist.
Well, of course, and you know, misidentification, I don't think either one of us has to speak to the problems that misidentification has caused in the legal system, including wrongful convictions and similar such incidents. But it's not like the cops just rely on the identification alone, or they shouldn't, to make the arrest. They should go out there and corroborate it, investigate it, and do it properly. And the great majority of times they do so.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's used in other countries around the world extensively. In London, I mean, it's amazing. I actually had consultants that helped set up the London system come and provide a tutorial to us when we implemented our LPR camera system.
Right.
And I mean, that was many, many years ago. They've been using this stuff for over a decade, probably
right.
2 decades now.
And our system is, from what I can gather, our system is fairly proficient. And then again, it's still being used by every other law enforcement area in the local area in New Orleans, except in NOPD, which to me is head scratching.
Yeah. Yeah, it will be interesting to see how this plays out. Anything else on your mind? Any other thoughts?
No, I just, you know, I hope that the men and women that are engaging in this manhunt are protected. I hope the persons that are still out there, the escapees that are out there, they don't resort to violence against anybody. But you know, it's a hairy situation as far as I'm concerned.
No doubt. Eric Hessler, attorney for Pano, thank you so much for joining us, sir. Have a great Memorial Day weekend and stay safe.
You also. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jeweler Talk and Text Line. Love to hear from you. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Welcome back, folks. We're going to go to Dave Cohen, WWL News Director, for some breaking news. Dave.
Yeah, bad news for fans of Billy Joel here in New Orleans. The 76-year-old musician is canceling his concert at the Superdome in October. In fact, canceling all of his upcoming concerts. Joel's social media says that he has a rare brain disorder known as normal pressure hydrocephalus. And he says that playing concerts has contributed to damage to his vision, hearing, and balance. So he is pulling back at this time and canceling all upcoming concerts. If you purchase tickets to see Billy Joel and Stevie Nicks play the Superdome in October, Joel's media says that he will automatically refund all ticket purchases, and you do not have to do anything to get a refund. So sad to hear that Billy Joel cannot continue to perform, at least not in the near future.
I had purchased my tickets, and I am disappointed, but I hope that he gets better. He's been quite the talent and has provided a lot of entertainment for a lot of people for a lot of years, to say the least.
And he's done recent concerts where he's looked good, he's sounded good, but he says it's actually making the condition worse. So in the efforts of preserving his health, he's got to, at least for now, stop performing in concerts. So we'll see how he and his medical team do moving forward. I have had the honor and pleasure of seeing Billy Joel perform in the past, an amazing showman, and glad I got to see him. For those folks who haven't, hopefully at some point he'll be able to return to the stage.
Same here, and we'll keep him in our prayers. Thank you, Dave, for the update. Truly appreciate it. All right, we are joined by Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics, who's dizzy for another reason. All of the political information floating around every day, trying to keep up with it.
There's no doubt about that.
That's a fair characterization, right?
I think it is.
So, Ron, I wanted to have you on. There's a big battle going on in Congress right now as to whether or not that they should have some type of hearings or investigation. Looking back into the Biden administration, a number of revelations from folks inside of the White House saying that Joe Biden had been in an incapacitated state, so to speak, one way of referring to it, for quite a long period of time. And now we're asking questions or wondering who is running the country.
Well, I'm not sure it requires an investigation, which would be, you know, probably a partisan circus, which these types of things usually are. But I think it's clear that the people who have been writing books and writing the history of 2024 and the election have really uncovered that there was a cover-up and that the president had very significant restrictions on what he could do, that he had both mental and physical limitations. And frankly, it made the idea of him being in a position to get reelected and to serve again, you know, seems increasingly absurd. So I think the point has been made, and that there were problems, that they were hidden, and he never really should have even considered running for reelection again, much less actually doing it.
One of the observations that has been made, and I'm not exactly clear legally what the implications are, you know, the utilization of an auto pen of his signature, there are questions now as to, you know, whether Ron Klain or others within the White House had open access to this auto pen and we're signing pieces of this or EOs here, there, whatever it may be. And that it was quite possible that the president didn't even know about it. What the implication of same would be legally or constitutionally.
Well, it is an issue. One of the first things I ever did on Capitol Hill was I volunteered as an intern to help some members of Congress. And one of the first, and literally the first job they gave me was to sit in the little room near the office and use the auto pen to sign letters. And the auto pen, for those people who haven't experienced it, is a little mechanical device that actually signs the person's name, and it looks just like their signature on a document. Normally it's letters, constituent letters. And the member of Congress doesn't even see the document. You know, I mean, they're form letters, basically. Now, using an auto pen to sign pardons, you know, I mean, I guess if you're going to sign 1,000 pardons or 2,000 pardons, it would be a time-consuming and difficult job for the president to sit there and do all of that. But I think I do think it's a legitimate issue, and you know, there needs to be some evidence, and maybe it exists. I don't know. I know Congressman Comer is investigating it, but you know, I think most legal sources say if it was clear that the president specifically instructed the mechanical signing of all those pardons and wanted to sign those pardons and knew what they were, then it probably would be legal. But you could make the other point that the president may not have known what they were, may not even, other than just having descriptions explained to it, may not even was aware of a lot of the particulars there. So that's an issue. And of course, it also raises another issue about pardons. And, you know, if a president is giving so many pardons as the current president and the former president have done in bulk, you know, maybe that's not such a good practice because it means the president and the people in the White House aren't really studying each case. The idea of a pardon, you know, it's an extraordinary remedy when nothing else is available. And so maybe they shouldn't be signing so many pardons at any one time.
Yeah, I mean, is it unreasonable to expect to find a paper trail whereby there would be the list of, let's just say he pardoned 1,000 for argument's sake, 1,000 names listed on there, authorizing Ron Klain to sign the auto pen or whatever to these pardons signed off by Joe Biden? Because I think what folks are concerned about is there is no paper trail that they can find or that they're aware of. And they don't know where the authority actually lies in, you know, relative to having some underling writing, you know, and signing off on these pardons. And there's no actual reflection of the chief executive, the president, ever having or being cognizant of the fact that this was done.
Yeah. And you know, I think the whole presidential pardon issue is a big issue. I think it's been abused by presidents, particularly beginning with Bill Clinton and going all the way through Donald Trump when he pardoned all those January 6th people who were defendants and convicted and pretty much made it clear that they didn't really care what the individual cases were. It was just, you know, the whole thing was a political thing, so they pardoned everybody. And that's not what the pardon power really should be used for. And it should be used on a case-by-case basis to remedy an injustice. But you're absolutely right. There needs to be a paper trail. There certainly should have been a paper trail. You would have thought they would have wanted. It raises the question, what kind of paper trail and how did Donald Trump do the pardons for the January 6th people?
And, well, there was no doubt. But there was no doubt that he knew about it. I mean, there's no doubt that that was that's what he desired. I mean, he told the world, right? So it's a little different than in the case of Joe Biden.
Well, but in the case of Joe Biden, he knew about it too. I mean, if you know, it was certainly, you know, the pardons he granted was all public, so obviously he knew about it, and he and I'm sure he wanted to do it. But the point of it is, it's not just knowing about the whole thing. It's knowing about each individual case, you know, and,
I get what you're saying. Absolutely.
And that's what gets me upset, because if presidents are going to start using the pardon power, to object to political things they don't like in the criminal justice process to remedy that. I mean, in effect, what you're doing is you're taking away the power of Congress to determine what the federal criminal law is, and you're abusing that executive power, and I think that's a big issue, and of course, you know, it always becomes a big issue at the end of a presidential term, and everybody forgets about it for 4 years until the end of the next presidential term. And it's something that really needs to be worked on and looked at now.
Yeah, for sure. Ron, we have breaking news. Let's go to Dave Cohen for another breaking news story. Dave?
Thank you, Newell. We have a bad crash on the I-10 twin spans heading from Slidell into New Orleans on the south end of the bridge. We are told by first responders that they're awaiting an AirMed helicopter to land and get at least one patient from the scene. So all lanes are currently blocked heading from the North Shore to the South Shore on the I-10 west across the twin spans. You might want to take the Highway 11 bridge to get across the lake for now as we wait for this AirMed helicopter to transport at least one patient from the scene on the I-10 twin spans. Newell.
Thank you so much, Dave. We're visiting with Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. We're going to get to a break right now. We'll be right back with him. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. Ron, have you been surprised by the release of the most recent book by Jake Tapper, kind of revisiting this issue with Joe Biden and making somewhat of a, I guess, an apology tour or whatever, saying we missed it. And if I knew then what I know now, I probably would have handled this situation much differently. You know, my immediate reaction is how did you miss it? I mean, it's everybody saw it. They even public polling had, you know, 70% of folks saying he's too old to continue on.
Well, Newell, you're right about that. I mean, clearly the president was losing a step over a course of time. President Biden, we're talking about, and it was obvious, and it was public, and of course, one of the things that kept it going is that the people around him said, "Oh, he's very sharp, and you know, in meetings, and makes great decisions, and is very well informed, and knows what he's doing," and so now, you know, the Tapper book comes out, and a couple other books said similar things. That he wasn't always, you know, up to it, and it was getting worse over time, and you know, the big thing about it was not only was the president having difficulty doing the things the president needs to do, but you know, as you get into your 80s, you can go some years and be fine, but all of a sudden you might have a slump. And we all go through these things and have to deal with them, but it's not something that you want a president to have to be dealing with on the job. So yeah, I mean, there were a lot of people in the media who didn't like Donald Trump and who wanted anybody running against him to do well, frankly, and that's just reality. And so they dismissed as sort of right-wing conspiratorial, you know, gobbledygook, all this talk about the president not being, you know, in a position to serve, particularly over time. And you know, and that happened too. Now I have to say this, and I just see so many of these things as manifestations of a two-party political system that just doesn't work anymore. You know, when you have a party system that you have to support, or members of a party feel like they have to support a president who isn't physically or mentally up to the job just because you want to beat the other guy, that becomes a problem. And that, I think, is part of the political party system right now, where the objective is not to elect the best person to the job. It's to destroy the other person, and both sides do it. And I think, you know, I think all of this is a symptom of that, where Democrats were accepting without questioning whether or not the president really was in a good position to campaign for reelection, when clearly he wasn't, and the debate showed that, and to continue to serve as president, which I think, you know, the last months of his term, you know, it looked to me like the situation was getting worse. So when you get into this two-party fight where the other side is evil, you have to destroy them, and it doesn't matter what kind of candidate you have, you just have to destroy the other side. Both parties do it, and it's hurting the country. And I think this is a symptom of that.
But when did we lose the media, Ron? I mean, you know, if you had today's media at the time of Nixon, Watergate would have never been uncovered. If you had today's media during the Clinton years, the Monica Lewinsky thing probably never would have been uncovered. You know, if you had today's media during a lot of these things, there's so many things that would have never been revealed.
Well,
rather, they became more advocates for an ideology and a party as opposed to being completely and totally independent.
Well, that's right. And on top of that, we now have a national media, and that can be so partisan at times that nobody can really believe it. And we have to wait until the election's over with and people write books about it to figure out what really was going on. And that's not the way to run a country or a democracy.
Yeah, and it's amazing. I mean, and I don't know about you, but I get tired of the whataboutisms, right?
It
seems like that's the only defense. I mean, as many times as I've challenged what Trump is doing, the moment in time that I'm talking about a Democrat, it's the whataboutisms, and I'm like, well, I covered that topic. I said what I had to say, about that. How many times you want me to say it, I don't know. But
sure.
Typically, if I say it once, I'm not going to change my mind unless I'm proven wrong otherwise. It's like the plane right now. I've said about the plane at least 10 times, I don't think it's a good idea to take the plane. I think it's a mistake. And
right.
I think the optics are not good. The sheik that's involved in that's got problems. He's got a spotty past, and it looks like he's going to have a spotty future. Don't take the plane. We don't need it. It's not that important, right? But it's almost as if we have become so entrenched in the defense of a party that we've lost sight of just common sense and what is actually apparent out there, right?
Right. Yeah, and, there was a time, it's decades ago now, when the political party system was just different than it is now. And if a public official didn't do what they were supposed to do, or didn't act properly or act in a way that violated the laws or whatever it may have been, that public official had to stand up and defend himself or herself. And people would look from both parties and say, we have to make a decision about whether this is the right conduct or not. But now it's like, well, it doesn't matter what our side does. We just have to kill the other side. And that's what you mean by the whataboutism. You say, well, Trump did this, and somebody says, well, what about Biden? And Biden did this. Well, what about Trump? Well, The proper question is, what about both of them? Both of them may have been doing the wrong thing, and one's malfeasance or nonfeasance is not a justification to protect the other one.
Yeah, I've kind of been looking to, just to pivot real quick, at the happenstance at the immigration facility in New Jersey, where the members of Congress say that they're there and they're with other politicians and activists to exercise their oversight authority and, basically try to make their way into a facility without going through the proper channels or anything else.
Right.
And they are actually, the party's actually defending them on that premise. And I'm like, have we just gone, crazy? I mean, it's not how you exercise oversight authority, but just showing up at a facility and kind of storming the gate and demanding that you get let in. It's like, doesn't work this way.
Well, it shouldn't. And we're seeing that. Of course, some Democrats see what Elon Musk did is similar to that, sending people showing up and disrupting things regardless of what the point was for. But yeah, that is crazy. One of the things.
But there's an important distinction there. He had the blessing of the president, and it was an executive. It was part of the executive branch of government.
Exactly.
Those dots are more closely connected.
Right, and my guess is Well, I shouldn't say obviously, because nothing's obvious anymore. But my guess is that if it was, you know, the way was paved and there was authorization at all. So I take your point. But the one of the things that the Democrats have to watch is that there is tremendous pressure on the part of Democratic politicians just to be tougher in the fight against Donald Trump. They don't feel like the Democrats are punching him hard enough. And so what Democrats are doing now is some of the politicians are starting to curse in public, you know, using F-bombs and everything else to try to attract attention and to show their outrage for something. And I think that's the wrong way to do it. You know, it's not to act like you're out of control and it's just filled with rage. It's to show that outrage in a way that has a more politically sustainable effect than that. And the Democrats have to be very careful. And I know when you feel like the other side is winning and you're not, and you hate the other side, it makes people crazy. You know, the Republicans felt like that when Clinton was president and Obama was president and Biden was president. Now the Democrats feel like that when George W. Bush was president and Donald Trump is president. So those things happen, but that's not the way national leaders should comport themselves. And more importantly, it's not the way for them to get across their points, because we have heard so much extreme rhetoric that wasn't rooted in facts from both sides in the course of these political contexts, that now we don't know what to believe. You know, you say, well, about some signing the pardons. Well, we don't really know what the facts are there. We don't trust either side. You know, we look at some of these other policies, what's going on with Musk.
So true.
You know, all of these things. And when you have a public that no longer believes anything because the messengers are no longer believable, then that really causes a problem. And I think both sides really need to clean up that mess.
No doubt. There's fault, and it's fault all around in all parties for certain. As always, Ron, we thank you for joining us. Always appreciate your time, your insight. Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. Have a great Memorial Day weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. Check in with Scoot. Stay with us. It's Free for All Friday, but Scoot is not falling yet, and he joins us. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
That's right. Okay, look, we've got a little bit of politics, but we're going to talk about the real meaning of Memorial Day and how it's different in 2025.
All right, Scoot's headed your way, folks. Stay tuned. Have a great Memorial Day weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities. and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.